The recent COVID pandemic, among many things, revived interest in the subject of vaccines. Currently, one of the most effective ways for humans to combat viruses by means of prevention and ultimately immunization. This is a technique that goes back further than what many people realize, since it was all the way in 1798 when Edward Jenner, an English physician, announced the results of his testing with a system that would aid the medical world with curtailing one of the worst diseases ever to affect humanity, smallpox. Smallpox had been around for as long as anyone can remember, and by the end of the 1700s was considered endemic, meaning it regularly would return and wreak havoc on communities from time to time. This was the case both in Europe and the rest of the world, where Europeans had reached and passed on the disease. It is estimated that at that time, in Europe, some 400,000 people a year died of smallpox. Now, Jenner's idea was to expose people to cowpox, which was a disease, a relative of smallpox, but nowhere near as deadly, in order to make them immune to the more lethal version. He did this because he noticed how people who worked closely with cattle, like farmers and milkmaids, seemed to be protected from the disease. That was because they would contract cowpox, develop antibodies, and thus become immune. The word vaccine, in fact, comes from vaccinus, a Latin word for cow. Now, to be fair, Jenner wasn't the first to come up with the concept of fighting disease by way of inoculation. For many years, a system known as variolation was employed. It was quite successful in many ways. It was a system of immunizing, but it used the actual smallpox material itself, making it effective but risky because patients could get a more virulent version of the disease and die. And also the technique wasn't used the same way universally, so there was no guarantee that it was being properly administered. And because you were actually using smallpox, a contagious and lethal disease, as a way of saving others, and that also made it risky. So Jenner came up with a different strategy, that of using a different disease, what we just mentioned, called cowpox, that made you immune to smallpox, but without the concerns that variolation caused. Now, he famously tested this idea on his gardener's son, James Phipps, who was 8 at the time, and the experiment was a success. So he proved its effectiveness, which is why he is credited with the introduction of the vaccines as a real defense against viruses and in particular smallpox. And soon enough, this technique was being used in different countries. Some were more receptive to the idea, while others, like England of all places, where Jenner was from, were more suspicious. In Spain, a military doctor named Francisco Javier Balmes, who was from Alicante, learned of the new treatment. He had read about it in a French report, and he had it translated into Spanish, and soon enough he was one of Spain's leading proponents of vaccinations. Balmes had already earned a solid reputation as a doctor, tirelessly training and researching in a time when medicine was entering a new and exciting phase in its history. He traveled throughout Spain and even Mexico a couple of times, practicing and investigating all that he could about traditional techniques and new discoveries. He also happened to be one of King Carlos IV's physicians, and he presented the king with an ambitious plan to inoculate the populations of Spain's possessions and territories overseas. The native population had been terribly affected by this disease. It was actually one of the downsides of the sometimes called Columbian Exchange, where amongst many other things, illnesses from the old world were introduced to the newly discovered continents whose inhabitants were virtually defenseless against them. And some estimates, especially in some areas, suggest that up to 90% of the native population disappeared mainly from disease, of which smallpox played a big role. Carlos IV was in favor of the idea, and he knew all too well the tragic consequences of smallpox because his own daughter had fallen victim to the disease and died of it at the age of 3 in 1794. That was just a few years before that. So the mission was given the green light and the organizational stage began. Now, the biggest challenge facing the medical team was ensuring that this vaccine, quote unquote vaccine, because it was really just a disease, reached America. In those days, without reliable refrigeration or speedy travel, attempts to get anything across the ocean and make it there in good shape proved pretty much impossible. But Balmes had an answer to this conundrum. He opted for a system that was ingenious while at the same time controversial from a modern standpoint. In fact, we could say it was pretty much unthinkable nowadays. But given the situation, there were probably few alternatives out there, and time was an issue if they wanted to save lives. The problem was that cowpox is contagious only in its active stage. If you wait too long, the material cannot be passed on to a new patient and therefore cannot inoculate. The transatlantic voyage was so long that it would have been impossible for any kind of antibody treatment to reach the other side in decent condition. So they had to think out of the box. The system was simple. Balmes and his medical team took a group of children between the ages of 3 and 9 on the boat, 22 in fact. They were mainly orphans or abandoned children, lived in orphanages, mainly from the city of La Coruña, but also some came from Madrid. And this is what they would do. The cowpox was given to 2 of the 22 children. 10 days later, when the symptoms began to appear, the material was extracted from the pustules or the blisters and then inserted into 2 more children. Then 10 days later, when those symptoms began to appear in the next 2 children, the process was repeated, and so on. And thus, a human chain was created which allowed the cowpox to make it to the new world. Now, from a modern perspective, this may have seemed like a totally callous measure to take, totally unethical, immoral, in fact. It would seem that the children were being used as guinea pigs, especially children without families, to make matters worse. But there was a method behind the apparent madness. Balmes needed to be able to count on people who hadn't had smallpox before. And in the absence of testing for antibodies, unless you had some physical sign like a pock mark or something like that, it was nearly impossible to know. His best bet were children. And since the vaccinations that were being used around Europe so far had been very effective and were proving themselves to be a risk for the young ones, this seemed like the best alternative. And on top of that, Balmes, when he was getting the financing for the trip and coming to his agreement, he had the government ensure that these children, when they returned to Spain, would be well cared for, given a proper education, and given any assistance until they were able to make out on their own. Balmes would also be accompanied by a woman named Isabel Zendal, a nurse and supervisor of the orphanage in La Coruña, and she would be in charge of taking care of the children throughout the voyage. And in addition to that, there were other doctors and assistants. So everything was pretty much ready. The ship was a 200-ton corbel known as the Maria Pita, a fitting name for a boat leaving La Coruña. Maria Pita was a legendary heroine from Galicia during the invasion by the English in 1589. I will tell you about her in a different episode. In any event, the expedition took off on November 30th, 1803. It was known as the Royal Philanthropic Vaccine Expedition, or simply the Balmes Expedition. It made a stop in Tenerife in the Canary Islands and started the inoculations there. And then after a month, they moved on. On February 8, 1804, they reached Puerto Rico. Then they sailed for Venezuela. Now, during the initial stage, they were made aware that some attempts to vaccinate the people in that area, in the Caribbean, and in those parts had already been employed or were underway. But this was a mission that was so large in its scope that there was plenty of work for everyone. And apparently the other attempts hadn't been as successful. So anyway, after that, the mission split up into two parts. The expedition's second in command, Joseph Salvani, was in charge of vaccinating Spain's populations in South America, Venezuela, Peru, Chile, and so on. The process was long and difficult. Salvani himself would fall sick and lose sight in one eye, but they managed to vaccinate tens of thousands, quite possibly hundreds of thousands, all over the continent. Balmes himself led the other part throughout the Caribbean and into Mexico, which was known at the time as New Spain. There he met quite a bit of resistance at first from skeptical people, but he didn't give up. He set up vaccine centers to ensure that there was always a fresh supply of vaccines. And they went around inoculating in different parts of that region and went as far north of as what would be today Texas and California. And then after that, they began the second half of this mission, which departed from Acapulco, which was a very important port on the Pacific coast back then, and they set off for the Philippines, this time with 26 local children who would be administered the same treatment in the hopes that the same procedure could be used in their destination. They arrived in the Philippines in April of 1805, and the inoculation started there. From there, Balmes decided to carry on with the mission, but this time he went to the Portuguese colony of Macau, which was in mainland China, where the vaccine hadn't been made available yet. And after that, the project moved into the Cantonese region of modern China, but it didn't prosper there for some reason. According to the story, as they approached the shore, a typhoon caused a shipwreck, and the doctor had to land on a rowboat with three children who were still alive and were infected with the cowpox so he could carry on with his vaccination rollout. It sounds quite dramatic. It's hard to verify, but that's what they say. Anyway, Balmes then headed back homeward. He kept going around the globe. He stopped in St. Helena's Island, to this day a British territory off the western coast of Africa, and he performed vaccinations there. Now, bear in mind, at that time, Spain and Great Britain were at war, so that should give you an idea of where Balmes's priorities were. Didn't matter that they were enemies, his duty as a doctor was to save lives. And finally, he returned to Lisbon on August 14th, 1806, nearly 3 years after setting off. It is estimated that some 300,000 people were vaccinated directly, for free, mind you. And if you think about the way it would have stunted the spread of the disease in those areas, many more lives were most likely saved. Balmes would return to Mexico and continue with the project before going back to Spain. He died in Madrid in 1819. And unfortunately, his name is not much of a household name here in Spain, though he does deserve to get a lot of credit, even though he's gone largely forgotten. However, the rollout of the vaccination for COVID-19 in Spain was called Operación Balmes, Operation Balmes, in honor of this important doctor in history. So, some people have at least made that effort to recall all that he did. Isabel Zendal worked constantly for several years until the mission ended. Balmes himself observed that she worked tirelessly every day to the point that it affected her health. He said she poured out all of her tenderness like a mother every day and every night to the dozens of children she had under her care over the years, just as she had done in Spain. After the Philippines, she would return to Acapulco and stay in Mexico for the rest of her life, and passed away in the city of Puebla. She would eventually be recognized by the World Health Organization as being the first nurse in history to participate in an international healthcare mission. The hospital in Madrid that was built specifically to carry out most of the injections given for COVID-19 was called Isabel Zendal in her honor, and it's where I got all three of my vaccinations. As for the children themselves, often referred to as guardian angels or heroes, little is known about where each one ended up and how the rest of their lives went. One was Zendal's son, so we know he was under her direct care, but as for the rest, much of it is a mystery. Originally, they were promised, as I told you before, that upon their return to Spain, they would receive an education and all and any assistance until they could manage on their own. But it appears that that never happened, and Balmes was bitterly disappointed by the government's failure to follow through on this. Were they heroes in the truest sense? Well, some say they probably weren't because they had no choice in the matter. But, you know, in the end, it was a sacrifice they made. And luckily, we do have their names. We don't have all their last names, but we do have their names, at least the names of the original 22. So I think I will pay a basic tribute to them by naming them one by one. Here goes. Benito Vélez, who was the 9-year-old son of Isabel Zendal. Then you had Andrés Naya, 8. Antonio Vereria, 7. Cándido, 7. Clemente, 6. Domingo Naya, 6. Francisco Antonio, 9. Francisco Florencio, 5. Jerónimo María, 7. Jacinto, 6. José, 3. Juan Antonio, 5. Juan Francisco, 9. José Jorge Nicolás de los Dolores, 3. José Manuel María, 6. Manuel María, 3. Martín, 3. Pascual Aniceto, 3. Tomás Melitón, 3. Vicente Ferrer, 7. Vicente María Sale y Bellido, 3. And then there was another boy who was 3 years old and who died during the crossing, but it isn't clear what the cause was. So those are the original 22, the children who helped save the world, and we are sending a personal show of appreciation for their sacrifice. As for the rest of the children, even less seems to be known. The 26 that were sent across the Pacific had actually been paid for. They weren't orphans. There were families who gave them to the project in exchange for money. I guess families who either had too many children and could use one less mouth to feed, or who didn't know what to do with a kid and handed them over in exchange for cash. So those were some of the ethical issues that shouldn't be overlooked. I guess, does that mean they ended up living tragic lives? It's really impossible to know. Chances are some probably had a rough time of it, but others may have enjoyed better fortune. Nevertheless, we must put some context into those issues. It seems fairly clear that Balmes had the best of intentions in mind and wished to help as many as possible with as little impact as possible, and that he worked very hard to make sure that the children were well cared for. And the work by Zendal and the rest of his medical team would seem to defend that position. So I will end this episode with two often cited quotes by eminent figures of the time. One comes from the famous German scientist Alexander von Humboldt, who declared that this voyage will remain as the most memorable in the annals of history. And the other comes from Edward Jenner himself, who observed, "I don't imagine the annals of history furnish an example of philanthropy so noble and so extensive as this." So we feel it's a bit of history that not everyone knows about. Not even a lot of Spaniards know about it. I've been telling a lot of them the last couple of weeks, and pretty much no one had heard of this. So it's history that hasn't been remembered and should be remembered, and we wanted to share it with you. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Or you can go to our YouTube channel, watch our videos, and subscribe there. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.